How are you? Man, I'm so glad to see you today. I'm so glad for everyone joining us online as well. What makes us excited about this room today is that we have children's ministry back in full swing, and that's a really big deal. And why it's a big deal is because a church without an effective, growing, vibrant student and children's ministry is a dying church. You believe that? You agree with me? And so today, we're doing our best for social distancing. For those who are home wondering how we're doing it, we'll have some classrooms open up, but also we're utilizing the outside. So, hey, Lord willing, hopefully the rain won't get us today. But we have contingency plans for all that. And at the end of the service, all your kids get to have ice cream. And so, hey, what a better way, right? We're blessed to have a good relationship with the folks at Ice Dream right around the corner. And they just wanted to come help us out to be a part of our launch. And so we're so grateful for them. We hope that you'll go ahead and take your family there from time to time and get to know them as well. They're really great people, and from what I hear, great ice cream. I have yet to have it, and you would think that I would based upon my size and stature, but I have it. So, but it's been, can you believe this? It's been 6 months, 180 days, half a year, where we haven't had children's ministry in this building. And it's crazy. It's sad, isn't it? It's just like heartbreaking. Student ministry is about 5 months off, and that was about the same. And again, all across our communities, not just North Point, but across our communities, other churches are opening up today, all their full suite of children's ministry and that kind of stuff. So, man, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the full church operating in the way it's designed to work all across our community is now beginning to shine brighter again, and that it truly excites me. So whether you're here joining us online or whether you're here in person in the room today, I want you to know, yeah, the church does look different, but we're not dead. The church may look different, and this may be a new normal, but it's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new normal, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. You believe that? Absolutely believe that with everything in me. And people have speculated, a lot of analysts are talking about what's happening in churches around our globe, and unfortunately, churches are in a bit of a decline right now. We see some things happening. Analysts are trying to determine what's going to happen with the local church, but let me just say this as clear as I possibly can. I believe with everything in my heart that God has a fortified future in store for a church that's a praying church, that's a kingdom-minded church, and a church that is innovative in how they carry out the message. Listen, the gospel message never changes. But the way that we communicate the gospel and the way that we have to bring it to this generation, that does change. And we recognize that. And some of us, especially as myself, I get older, I like the way things used to be. And I want to keep the things the way they used to be. But I realize that if we're a praying church, if we're kingdom-minded, focusing on the things of God, setting our minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added to us. God will continue to sustain us and give us a fortified future. But we're going to have to be innovative in order to accomplish that. And together, we are the local church called North Point Church. Again, whether you're watching online, we long for the day to be reunited, but many of you will choose to stay on online campus. And we have to get used to that because this is the world that we live in. We want you to know, even if you're watching online or if you're in person, I still see you as our church family. And God still sees you connected to this body known as the North Point Church. God knows the North Point Church by his people. God knows the North Point Church by our deeds. God knows the North Point Church by our faith. And together, I believe we have that fortified future. God's placed us here together to fulfill his purpose in our community. And what is that purpose? He places us in the community for a purpose, and that's to reach this community for Christ. You catch that? We don't just exist so that you and I have a place to go and for our kids to have a place to attend. We exist for the purpose of reaching this community with a life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Now, my purpose of this message today is kind of a conversation with you. I want to share with you the burdens that God has really placed on my heart, actually a passage of scripture that I've yet to be able to get away from. If you've known me for the last calendar year, this is probably a verse that I've talked about with you in a one-on-one conversation, or if you've been in a Starting Point or Explore membership class or membership essentials, you'll hear this verse bubble up. And it's not just a verse that I think is a cool verse. It's a verse I can't escape from. It's a verse that seems to be kind of chasing after me. And what I want to do this morning is share with you that burden, because I believe God's placed it inside of me, But in addition to that burden, I need to ask for your help in order to accomplish it as we are innovative and as we make some differences and we make some changes. Only God truly knows the future, but I believe he has big plans for us. He wouldn't have placed us strategically in this community. He wouldn't have given us 45 acres of land in order to minister from. He didn't just intend for us to have this building and this facility in order to just manage the ministry. But I believe that God also doesn't want us to build an empire back here or a mega church. I believe that God wants us to be a sending church and a church planting church, a church that is equipping and raising up the next generation of worship leaders, the next generation of student leaders, the next generation of children's ministry leaders, the next generation of worship pastors, children, students, everybody, and that we would be able to launch a healthy church and walk alongside that church, not as another campus of North Point, but that we would walk alongside that church as their own campus. For 1 year, my prayer is that we would walk alongside them in a kind of a relationship of others and finances involved. We'll help support the staff and those things. But after this 1 year period of time is done, we pray that that church would constitute on its own and it wouldn't have anything to do with North Point whatsoever. It'd pick its own creative name. I don't care what they call it. As long as they have the understanding that their responsibility is not to grow a mega church, but to plant another church. Folks, we need to be creating churches and starting churches that are healthy. And I love this church. And I want this DNA to continue because I believe there's something special about our unity. There's something special about the love that's here. There's something special about the power of Christ that's on display here. There's something special that people want to come. And we're seeing lives change for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I believe God places deep burdens into its leaders. And I will never go on record as claiming to have direct revelation from God. I think that's incredibly dangerous when pastors begin to tread in that area. But I will say that I have prayed fervently. Man, Lord knows with everything going on in my family right now, prayer has been the one thing that I have breathing and I have to live in, because if I don't have my opportunity to be with God, I don't know how we would get through the things that we're doing. But I've spent so much time in prayer for this church and for the vision that God's placed on my heart. And after much prayer and counsel and deliberation and analysis, I believe that God has given me, I guess I would call it an insight into the future. And it's my job as a leader to chart a course to intersect with that future. You've heard me say all the time that Wayne Gretzky would say, skate to where the puck is going. Simon Sinek would say that innovators look and understand where the future is heading and then chart a course to intersect with that future. And I feel that that's our sacred responsibility as leaders of this church, is to understand what we think best of what the future is going to do, not just in our own minds, but what does God's word tell us? And then look at what analysts are talking about, look at what people are discussing, and then align ourselves to those things. So this morning I want to share with you that burden, and then I want to ask you to join me to help me accomplish it. And so the passage of scripture that's captured my attention over this past year, nothing has burdened me deeper than this. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, and it's actually verses 1 through 5. But I want to begin by reading to you this morning verses 3 and 4, and then we're going to read the verse in context so you can understand what God has done. Because originally this is the verse, what I'm going to read to you today, was the verse that really gripped my heart first. But it was after some additional time in God's word and after some additional time in prayer that suddenly this verse began to really feel like a weight in my heart. And it began to feel like a burden in my chest. And it began to simmer, and now it's boiling in my heart. And it's my prayer today that I can just get it to simmer in your heart and let God take his word and let it boil in your heart to join me in this vision and in this mission. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 3, it says this about our world. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth, and they will chase after myths. Folks, I believe with everything in me that we are living in a time such as this. We're living in a time where people are rejecting wholesome teaching. They no longer want to hear sound teaching. They want to chase after their own desires, and they're looking for teachers. They're looking for preachers. They're looking for churches who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear, things that will make their kingdom better, things that are not focused on the kingdom of God, but just on their own personal kingdom. And what that is, folks, let me put it in a real clear sense, it's just consumer Christianity. When we want to just get what our itching ears want to hear, we want to be consumers. We want to be customers of those things. And when we read the passage, the first temptation is to get mad at the people. Because the people are focusing on getting what they want out of the message. And in doing that, they're actually leading themselves into darkness and they're wandering further away from the truth. And when I read this, I get irritated sometimes at the people, but then God opened my eyes to something even bigger and something most important for me as a leader to understand. That it's not just the people are looking for this, but what happens in this verse is they're looking for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. That means that there's a law of supply and demand. That there's a group of people in this world that are desiring to have their itching ears satisfied, to be consumers of Christian content. And there are churches in our community, and there's churches in our country, and there are churches in our globe who've realized that there's an opportunity here. That this is what they want to hear, so let's tell them what they want to hear, and in turn grow the church and have financial success, and all those business principles fall into place. You see, when I read this verse, originally I just thought, man, people are just, they're just going dark. They're just going away. They're drifting away. But then the church has so much involvement in this. Is the church is sometimes, I believe, we're afraid to stand on the word of God and the truth of God, which, by the way, offends, right? We're afraid to stand there because we're afraid our churches are going to reduce in size and therefore in our financial ability. And I tell you what, the moment that we do that or the moment I do that as your pastor, get rid of me, please. Because I believe that everything in me, that God's word can stand and his church will prevail even if you speak the truth. I don't think we have to water it down at all. But there's no question that the world around us is growing darker and darker and that we're wandering further and further from the truth. And the problem with us is that as the church is watering it down as well, that the world will continue to go darker and darker. It's going to be harder and harder for people to really find the truth. If churches begin to take this approach and help people satisfy their itching ears, darkness is going to grow and grow and grow. But here's what happens when darkness grows. You know this. Persecution follows. Do you feel the wave of persecution? Do you feel the wind of persecution that's rising up in our culture? Just this election is showing it, isn't it? You can just see where we stand on different moral issues, and some people have stood with political parties for so long throughout their entire lives, and yet now they're looking at their political party and saying, man, biblically, what are we doing, and how is this shaping up? And it becomes these arguments that are taking place on social media. Dare we ever get involved in them? Because all it creates is a firestorm of problems back in our direction. But as darkness increases, so are the winds of persecution. And eventually it's going to land itself not just in your personal lives and your professional lives, but it'll also affect our church. The world continues to grow darker and darker and move away from the church, and that persecution begins to rise. And in fact, the wind is already blowing stronger than ever before, as I've just mentioned. But the only ones who will truly feel it are the ones that are willing to stand up and face the adversity and proclaim the truth. The only way we'll ever really truly feel the wind blowing against us is if we stand and we face the wind. But it's my heartbreak that I don't see us as Christians growing stronger in our faith. I see us as Christians just kind of becoming more apathetic in our faith. For some reason inside of me, what I feel like is happening is that we see this culture that's happening and we don't know what to do. We feel paralyzed what to do and we feel like it's all on us and we take the full responsibility to ourselves, realizing this is God's war, this is God's battle, but he does choose to use you and I, right? He uses you and I for his purpose, for his kingdom. And he wants us to take a stand. And in order for us to do that, we have to have strong roots. I want to put a picture on the screen that we've talked about for years now within the church. But as we expand our reach and as we stand up against this world, as we try to be light in the darkness, as we try to be salt and light in this world that we live in, we have to have deep, strong roots to be able to sustain the winds that are going to come blowing at us. And most of us have no confidence in our Christian roots because we don't feel like we've ever been discipled. And we don't really feel like we've understood apologetics. What's apologetics, Pastor Steve? Apologetics is just simply understanding how to defend your faith, what you believe, you know, the nuts and bolts of your faith. Being able to talk to someone about what you believe, to be able to understand what other people believe and recognize how that doesn't match up with what God's word says, and that there's only one way to peace, and that's through Jesus Christ. Apologetics is learning how to defend our faith, but most of us don't feel like we have confidence to do this, and so we really don't want to go public because we're afraid that we can't handle the pressure or that we're not going to have the answer. And so we're not comfortable going public with our faith. But God has called the church not to sit on the bench, but to get in the game. And I believe that the Lord's return is at hand. I believe that we will see the Lord's return in a soon generation. I pray it's this generation. I'd love to proclaim that, but you know what? I also know that God says no one knows the hour. But even my family, we oftentimes at night will say, man, will the Lord just return? Will the Lord please just return? We desire his return because of all that we're facing in this world today. And so I want to read to you this verse in context. I've told you what's going to happen because God's word says it, and it's kind of prophetic, right? Because we can already see this playing out within the world. That people are turning their itching ears, they are chasing after myths, they're not pursuing the truth anymore. So let's read it in context and find out what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be in the game. Okay, how do we do that? I mean, I believe there's two layers to this as God's been pressing on my heart. Two layers is that there's a responsibility that the church has, and I want to carry that responsibility to the best of my ability and lead our church in this way, but there's a responsibility that you have that I can't do anything about, that you need to take responsibility for and carry. And it's all found in the context when you look at the verses before and the verses after, the passage that God had burdened so deep in my heart. And so it says this, I solemnly urge you, verse 1 in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 rather, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and in Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. So stop right there. Do you hear there's a warning here? I solemnly urge you. Like I'm kind of like giving you a heads up of a warning. There is a judgment that is coming. And that judgment, he's going to judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. There's a responsibility that we have in this time, church family. Churches have this responsibility, and individuals of the church have this responsibility. So what are you solemnly urging me to do, Paul? Well, verse 2 tells us we're supposed to preach the word. We need to preach the word, and we need to be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, obviously we live in unfavorable times. If I hear the word unprecedented one more time, right? I mean, we're in unfavorable times. And what we're supposed to do is preach the word, patiently correct. That means that we do this in love. We don't do this with a hammer. We don't do this with standing on a soapbox. You heard my heart with this over and over again. Church family, please do not be that Christian who wants to beat people up with Jesus Christ. If you want to do that, go somewhere else to church. Because I want us to be known as a group of people who understand God's word and the power that it has and the pain that it can bring someone when they're living their life contrary to this word, and that God needs to change them, and the only way that they're going to listen to what God needs to tell them is that they need to feel loved so they can continue to get deeper and deeper in this word until it begins to convict them and change their heart and change their way and change their life. You being a bully or a Karen, whatever they're called, if you have any Karens here, please forgive me. I don't know how poor Karen got wrapped up in all this. But man, no one's going to come to Christ if we're just that kind of people, right? So we preach the word and we be prepared. We get ready to do it. There's just not just we don't wait until we run out of time and we better do it. There's a preparation that goes involved in this. And why? Because the time's coming and people are no longer going to listen to sound and wholesome teaching. We're in this. They're going to follow their own desires. They're going to look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. And they're going to reject the truth, and they're going to chase after myths. What Paul's describing is this darkening that's just taking place. And we can't be afraid of the darkening, although it can get us, and if we want to be anxious about it, we have to go back and listen to Pastor Josh's message and understand that, and we're in the game here, and we're winners at the end. He says in verse 5, so don't be afraid. We should just keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. What do you mean suffering? Yeah, folks, it's coming for believers. There's going to be some level of suffering that believers are going to face. I'm not going to water that down for you because Jesus didn't water it down for his disciples. And the only way that you and I are going to be willing to stand up for our faith and to suffer for our faith is that if we have deep roots so we can handle the adversity when it comes, and we have a true confidence in that God is by our side, and he's helping us and helping us navigate even the most of difficult times. You should keep your mind clear. I'm going to read verse 5 again. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. So work, or keep working. Just keep doing. Keep working at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given to you. Complete the work you've been called to do. COVID-19 does not stall the work of the kingdom of God. It has interrupted the work of the kingdom of God because we have had to all kind of pivot. But the sad thing is that it's interrupted. The reason it's felt such an interruption is, for the most part, what's happened is that churches have disengaged. And I think that we've got a culture of Christians, unfortunately, I'm one of them as well, that I like to do things with the church, but I'm not really good about being a spiritual leader outside of the church. Can anybody relate to that? It's easier as a team, right? I mean, Deanna was saying it today, that we don't play baseball alone. We need a small group. There's something about that being together. There's something about that God says, don't forsake the fellowship with other believers. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's a secret sauce there for us. But the church, we need to rise up and still stay focused. And as individuals, we have to rise up and stay focused. Because in these final days, we need to shine brighter. We need to be bolder. We need to love deeper. We need to expand our influence and reach. We need to be innovative how we're reaching people, and all the while deepening our roots to withstand the storms of adversity and the persecution that is to come, personally, politically, professionally, privately. Paul's trying to tell us, I need you to increase your effectiveness, because as the wind grows stronger against us, you are going to be tempted to cower and not to do the things you need to do. And Paul is saying what we need to do is shine ever brighter in the world during this time. There needs to be more salt. There needs to be more light in this world. What's interesting to me is that Jesus has told us to go into all the world. It's always been about going. But for the last 4 or 5 decades, as long as I can remember, there's been kind of a different philosophy. It's not been about the going. It's been about, if we build it, they will come. It's the church is no longer going out into the world as individuals. The church somehow seems to be now shifted to where, well, we'll just build a building and then we hope they come. Well, I don't think the world's going to go that way anymore. I think this new paradigm shift that we're in right now, I think that people are going to start seeing churches. If they don't see Christians as being people who are really living by faith and are strong in their faith and are standing up for their faith, and have a confident hope that their life has been changed by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, if people don't see that relevance in your life, they're going to see the church as an irrelevant place to be, and eventually it'll just be a museum that they attend or a civic center in the community. In Europe, this has happened. I mean, there's so many beautiful churches that are just now museums for tourists to come and see, because somewhere along the way, the church lost its relevance in our community. In those communities, they turned after their itching ears. And they began to chase myths and karma, right? They began to just kind of follow their own things that seem to make sense in their own way instead of the truth. But here's the deal. This generation is still going to have seekers. Yes, it's going to get darker. And as Christians, I believe we can rise up. And I think that we have all the right things here at our church to do that. I think there's some great people with great hearts, and so I'm not trying to push down on you or be hard on you. All I'm trying to do is give you an awareness that it's so easy for us to pick our feet up and go with culture, and this is not the season. You are not born into a period of time that you get permitted to do that. It is your time now to stand up and face this adversity together and make sure that many people, we don't have fights, but we win people for Jesus Christ. There's still going to be seekers, and in fact, right now, they're still looking for truth. But I don't think they're going to walk in the doors of churches much anymore these days. Jesus says, how will they hear unless someone goes and tells them? And he also says that the harvest is much, but the workers are few. And I think that's kind of where we are today. Is that I think that there's going to be a group of people who are yearning and looking for truth. But they're going to do exactly what they've been trained to do to look for answers to their life. And it's not going to be walking into buildings. It's they're going to open their phones, open their computers, and they're going to Google search. And they're going to search social media. And they're going to try to find something that makes sense online. Whether they watch a broadcast from an evangelical church or whether they watch a broadcast from some Christian, some cult out there, who knows what they'll get? And we know that the enemy's out there very aware that people are searching in this way. Generations will still have seekers, but they're going to search Google. They're going to watch content on social media. They're going to look for truth and light, and they're going to do what they can to find it. And if we're dumbing down the gospel, then we're dimming down the light. You hear me? That's why it's important for me to preach the gospel, even though it could be offensive and frustrating at times. Is that if I do that, the light shines brighter. And when the light shines brighter, more lives are changed, and more lives are now changed. They have salt and light, and that salt and light is attractive to those people who are seeking, and they are drawn to it. There's another picture I want to put up on the screen, and it's a picture of some plants that are reaching for the light. We've all seen this in our gardens at home or in a plant inside our house by a window. As it wants and craves that light as it draws there, this is what the world looks like right now. That there are people out there right now that are looking for the truth, but they are not walking into this building. They need you to go out there and tell them and to bring them here. I've prayed about this over and over again because I know there's a responsibility of the church, but I also know there's a responsibility as individuals. And as I pray over these things, I feel like God just telling me to turn it up and turn certain things up in the mix. And what that means is it's a music phrase. It's a production phrase for music production. And in turning something up in the mix says, I want to hear more of that vocal, so I'm going to turn that up. I want to hear more of that piano, so I'm going to turn it up in the mix. I want to hear more of the bass guitar. I want to turn it up in the mix. And so whatever you want to hear most and see most and sense most, you turn it up in the mix. And the same thing I think God's just trying to tell me. And my burden that I want to share with you is, hey, look, I'm telling you, the world's changed, and I need us to be in the game for this, right? We have to raise our salinity, and we have to raise our brightness in which to do that. In order to do that, I think God's telling us to turn up the mix in four key areas. And so over the next series of months and for years to come, I pray that you will continue to see these things turn up in the mix in the life of your church. But I also need you to understand that these things I'm going to share with you are things that have to be turned up in your life as well. And together, if the church is swinging and firing on all cylinders in these areas, and you're doing the same thing, our effectiveness for Christ, our reach for Christ, our influence for Christ, the world-changing stuff we're going to be able to do together, it's going to be beyond our wildest dreams for the Lord. Because we're going to be a praying church, we're going to be a kingdom-minded church, and we're going to be innovative in the way that we're reaching people. And I believe when we do that, we'll be a fortified church. God will continue to provide for a church that is doing these things. We don't have to beg, borrow, and plead and those things. All we need to do is get our mind right and understand what he's trying to do. So here's the four fundamental key things that I'm going to turn up in the mix. The first one is evangelism. As a church, we want to be evangelistic, and let me explain all four first. Evangelism first, discipleship second, apologetics third, and loving our neighbors is the fourth thing. So evangelism, what does that mean? Evangelism is that corporately as a church and individually as church members, it's our responsibility to make him known. You drive past the flags every day you come in, making him known, knowing him more, making disciples. That means that we've got to go and tell them. We've got to go where they're at, and we have to bring them to Jesus. This isn't waiting for them to come to us. So as a church, how do we do that? So what the church is getting ready to do, and we're working on the grassroots pieces of this right now, and we're looking forward to January really to be implementing in a big way, but we're going to be creating content. Now that God's allowed us to have broadcasting and we're upgrading some of the broadcasting things to be able to do this and to have video creation, what we want to do is create video shorts that we're going to use advertising and multimedia, social media, to be able to get these video shorts into the hands of people that aren't church related at all. You may never even see some of these posts that will happen. But it'll be short testimonies, things like from myself, and I'll share an excerpt of my story. Pastor Corey will share his story, and Deanna will share her story. And there'll be people in our staff that you know that you'll be able to hear just details of their life. And what we're hoping to do is drop those into the feeds of people who aren't believers. That in their demographic on Facebook, they don't have any religious affiliation. And we want them to stumble across something that is real life change and have to wrestle with the fact that, oh my goodness, That seems like something's real. They seem to be humble. They seem to be authentic. They seem to be relatable. They seem to be transparent. And they seem to know something. They seem to be looking for, they seem to have found the truth. And what they're reaching for the truth. Many of them are reaching. We want to target people in our community. We can do that with the radius of Facebook ads. We know that you live within 15 minutes from here. And then we just say, look, we'd love to meet you someday and come and visit our church. We want to, and so there's a way that we're going to them where they are and trying to get them to grapple with a biblical principle. We want to create videos that are going to talk to them about why is evil in the world, and why does God do this, and how in the world is this taking place, and how can you find peace in the midst of the storm? These are things that as believers we've heard about and we know about and we understand, but there are people that this is all new content for, and I want to get that content to them because they're not going to walk in here to hear it. And if they walk in here on a Sunday morning, man, I may not talk about the thing that they need to hear, but we want to get some content to them. And use creative ways to be able to do that, to get to help them find their, you know, what's the purpose of life, and what does it mean to have God restore your marriage, and can God break the chains of addictions? All these things, man. Can you just imagine if our community, and all we're doing is trying to get people to wrestle with the idea that there's a God who can make a difference in their lives in these key areas. If we get that right, then I believe we're creating new front doors to the church. And we're inviting them to come. We're finding them. But now it'll be your responsibility. What can you do to creatively find people and to share people your faith? Sharing your testimony. Helping them understand how God changed your life. Invite them to come with you to church. They're not going to come alone. I need you to invite them to join you. Where you have a relationship and where you have influence, you have responsibility. That's my prayer. The next thing is discipleship. Again, corporately as a church and individually as church members, we need to be helping you. And our staff right now is working on an online, a in-person, and a live streaming discipleship program. That discipleship program is going to allow you to get the discipleship that you say you never had. We want to teach you how to read your Bible. We want to teach you how to have an effective quiet time with God. We want to teach you how to pray. We want to teach you the importance of giving. We want to teach you the importance of serving. The fundamentals of the faith, we want to be able to teach you. And for some of you, on-demand streaming, that's all you need. But for some of you, you want to be in a class and go through this content with other people. We're going to have all that stuff available because we want to try to find a creative way to get it to you. So we're working on the curriculum and the scope and sequence to make that happen, to teach us how to do those things. In addition to that, hermeneutics. What's hermeneutics? Well, good grief, what's that mean? That just means that when you read God's word, that you're interpreting it correctly. It's important because we can kind of go off the rails with our own theology, right? And so I want to teach you how you can be certain that you're interpreting God's word correctly and accurately. The next thing is apologetics. I remember I said that a minute ago. It's about defending your faith and knowing what you believe and answering difficult questions and understanding world religions and Christian education and being able to just kind of get your mind wrapped. Some of you aren't ready for those levels of detail, but some of you are. The reason that you're not sharing your faith is you're afraid someone's going to give you a zinger, and you don't like that. We want to be able to give you help there. If you have a friend who is Muslim, if you have a friend who is Jehovah's Witness, if you have a friend who's a Mormon, we want you to understand what they believe and how it's different from what God's word is, and that we don't need to beat them up about the faith that they've chosen to follow, but we need to shine a light to help them understand that they're going in a dead-end path. We have to be able to let them see. And lastly, we need to turn up the mix of loving and serving our neighbors because we believe that practical help paves the way for us to share our eternal hope. And we're adopting the communities right across the street from us, Turtle Lakes, Carpenter's Run, the neighborhood right there with Denham Oaks, as well as Twin Lakes across the street. We're targeting those four areas specifically for us to do service projects in so they can see our name and understand where we are because we want them to be able to find this place when God is prompting them to be able to go to a church. And we know that if they find this place, that they'll find Jesus in this place. And so we want to do our best. We believe practical help paves the way for sharing our eternal hope. We got to turn those things up in the mix. And so COVID-19 has altered the church a lot. We were in the beginning of January, we had prayed as leaders about starting phase two of our church building our final sanctuary, turning this into a student center and the purpose it was designed for. That's why it was never meant to do all the things that we're doing in it today. It's all we could afford at the time. And we had preparations and plans for like a $6 million upgrade that will happen one day. But as the trustees and the elders and deacons have met, we believe it's our best stewardship to postpone building another building during this time. God right now has given us room again, and so we're going to take advantage of that. And so what we believe that God wants us to do right now is to reinvest in this facility and to make the necessary upgrades, things that we chose not to do because we were going to build phase two. But I believe now is the time for us to make those upgrades to allow us to stay here a little bit longer in this facility and expand our reach and allow us to have deeper roots in the things that we're going to do in discipleship. And so one of those things that we're going to do, bottom line, what we need, and this is where I need your help, and I'm not going to sell anything to anybody. Just understand, what God's placed in my heart and the things that we need to do, it's going to take $102,000 in order to accomplish it. We've already, it actually was $260,000 of all the upgrades, but God's already provided a huge amount of that money. And what's left for us to finish the work that God's already started, for us to join God where he's already been at work, is we need to raise $102,000. That sounds like a lot of money to some of you, and you go, when the timing of this may be wrong or maybe off, but it's not. Because right now, I believe it's preparatory for what needs to happen in 2021. God has already begun a work by helping us do a lot of upgrades. I want to read to you some of the upgrades that are taking place, and then I'm going to close. My time is out. I wish I could talk to you another hour, but I can't. But what I want you to know is that the upgrades that need to take place, I believe, are urgent and imminent. And they have to do with technology, number one. We're upgrading our technology. God's already done a whole lot there in that regard, but we need some more money to be able to help close that. That helps to improve our experience here in this building, but it also helps to improve your experience at home. Last week, third service, the power completely goes out in this room. And while we in this room were able to enjoy the moment together and to still continue to worship, and God did a really great thing, you didn't have the same experience at home, did you? When the TV just shut off and you're like, oh, church is over, I guess. We need to improve that. We need to improve our liability of our broadcast and our live stream. We need the audio in this room to be better, and we need the lighting in this room to be better so that the broadcast as well as our experience can be better. We need to upgrade our kids' ministry space. It's long overdue. We built classrooms that are multi-purpose, but we didn't build a theater for our kids. We didn't build that place for our elementary kids to begin understanding that worship environment. And Brenna wants them to have that environment to help them engage in worship, to create an atmosphere of excitement. But also down the kids' hall, we still have to repurpose because we still use the kids' hallway as our offices on the weekdays. I don't know if you know this, but that's where we have our office space. I'm in the baby room. That's my office. I can cry anytime I want to, and it's perfectly fine. I can even pee my pants if I want to. But we need to do some things so that the dual purpose of those can function better. Because we, right now, thank God for Joey Bujica, man, our facilities guy. He moves furniture around all week long to help us have church. It's been a nice break. I'm sure Joey's like, it's been a good break. But it's back. And we need to make the adjustments and prepare for that. We have to upgrade our video production so we can do better content. The things like Brenda did with us and the videos this morning, we don't want to do it cheesy. We have to do it with excellence for God. Why? Because the people who are watching these videos that we're creating, this content that we're going to market to and drop in their social media feeds, slide into their DMs, so to speak, is that we want them not to be put off by the quality. We want them to see that they believe in something enough to do it in excellence. We want to do serve projects in our community because, again, we want to pave the way. We believe it paves the way to share our eternal hope. We need to upgrade our property. There's some maintenance issues that need to take place. Last year, at this exact time, we were up to our necks in stormwater. Does anyone remember that? We know how to fix it. We just need the money to be able to finish the job. Here we are in storm season again, and we're a little nervous. We're going to create a stone of remembrance. A stone of remembrance will mark the 2008 prayer spot that I and a few other men prayed upon back in 2008, asking God to give us land for church. And one day, 7 years later, God would give us the 45 acres here. I want that to be remembered long before I'm gone, long after I'm gone. We want to start our crosswalk discovery trail in the woods that will lead to an old rugged cross out in the woods that you can take a prayer walk and you can seek God and lay your burdens down. Just pull up in the parking lot one day and just say, hey, I need a walk. I just need to take a walk. We want you to be invited to our property to be able to do that. We have a few other things, but man, I'm just out of time. The point is that I think we're being great stewards with the upgrades, but I just need your help. Yes, we could use savings, but you know what? Here's the deal. We don't know what 2021 is going to hold yet. And I think it's bad stewardship, and so does our trustees and finance team. We just think, you know what? Right now is not the time for us to reduce savings to a dangerous level. We need to be able to hold that to be able to maintain and manage 2021 well. And so that's what I need your help. So will you join me in that? I don't know what you can give, but I encourage you to give something. We each have the ability to give something. We each have the capacity to give something. But here's what I know about God, is that God multiplies sacrificial gifts. So what do you think you can give? And then I want to challenge you to give a little bit more and join us in this. I don't want a campaign that's going to run on for months and months and months. My prayer is that God will raise this money in short order and we don't have to talk about it ever again except celebrate what he's done. I believe that God can raise this money in very short order, and I believe in the next 3 months we can see all these upgrades take place and start 2021 off strong. Would you join me? I pray that you will. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing me to share what's on my heart. Lord, I feel like I could have done 1,000 times better in the communication of this, but I guess at the end of the day, I've done my best. And so I pray that you would reward that, Father, today. I pray that you would help us all in the room to take full responsibility to know we are together in this and that we would partner together in the raising of this money. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.